Okay, so we'll begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are now going to continue with volume 17, May 4th, 1925. This is the most important passage to understand the divine will. When we read and reread this passage, I mentioned it often, volume 17, May 4th, 1925, you will begin to begin each time. It's a beginning of entering into this awareness of what God has planned for this time. And yesterday was the second most important reading. If you read yesterday's reading, if you're reading the calendar 103 years ago on the 29th, Jesus tells Louisa, this was one of the first things that I read a long time ago. It was what God is doing. He says, I want you to become aware of what I am doing at this time. And when you read yesterday's reading and today's reading, if that doesn't make you want to read the divine will, I don't know what will. Because what Jesus is explaining is something that is so magnificent. You haven't read anything like this in any of the writings ever, but what you're going to experience is Jesus, like he breathes into you this life, this light, this love. He says to Louisa, he says it yesterday as well. He shows that as when Jesus speaks, this word has to come alive, because the word of God speaking these words, he said, when he said fiat lux, the whole universe began. One word, fiat lux, and everything began. Now what Jesus is doing is he's letting us experience everything that God has done in creation and redemption and now in sanctification. And it's going to take eternity to go through it. And he wants us to be, he says, I've created this to show you how much I've loved you in creation, how much I've loved you in redemption, and how much I love you to offer this sanctification to you on earth as it is in heaven. So we'll begin today reading volume 17, May 4th, 1925. And it's a continuation of the previous chapter. The mission of the divine will reproduces on earth the image of the most holy Trinity. Think about that. Jesus says, I want you to be fused with the Trinity. So I'm going to give to humanity this gift of the divine will so that you could be fused with the reflection of the Trinity on earth. And this is the thing that is so amazing to watch God breathe into us. I mean, we are experiencing this. So he says, after writing what was above, this is the previous writing, I began to do the adoration to my crucified Jesus, fusing all of myself in his most holy divine will. And my beloved Jesus came out from within my interior. So here she's saying, I want to spend time now with you, Christ crucified. She's learned at this point, this suffering that we're all going through, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional suffering, is essential to become aware of the love of God. I know that might sound strange, but when we meditate on Christ crucified, when we go in front of the Blessed Sacrament and see our prisoner of love in the Holy Eucharist, in the monstrance, we begin to understand this abundant love of God. So Jesus, my beloved Jesus, came out from within my interior, and he says this often to help us understand where he is. And placing his most holy will close to mine, all tenderness, he told me, my daughter Louisa, did you write everything on the mission of my divine will? So here, Jesus is being as gentle as he is. He says, Louisa, he says, did you write everything that I told you on my divine will? And what is her response? Yes, Lord, I wrote everything. And then Jesus again said, what if I told you that you did not write everything? Rather, you have left out the most essential thing. So here Jesus is saying to Louisa, okay, you think you've done this. And this is what happens to us. We think we're living in the divine will. And God goes, Do you understand what this is to live in the divine will? And we want to live in the divine will, and we strive to live in the divine will, but we are weak, and he makes us see our weakness through worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. He lets us see it. He lets us experience it because he says there's a lot of work we've got to do. He says, I'm going to bring you to perfection. That's what the Lord says to Louisa. He says, you have left out the most essential thing. So Louisa, continue to write, and you must add this. The mission of my divine will shall conceal the most holy Trinity upon earth. Now, the Holy Trinity, we cannot see three persons in one God. When we look at St. Patrick, he explained the Trinity by holding up the three-leaf clover. And it says, it's like this. I mean, can you imagine comparing God to a three-leaf clover? It's three in one. But he says, the mission, what I am going to breathe into mankind of my divine will conceal the most holy Trinity upon earth. And he says this, just as in heaven, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, inseparable but distinct among themselves, who form all the beatitude of heaven, in the same way, on earth, there will be three persons who, because of their missions, will be distinct and inseparable among themselves. So this is the reason why this talk on the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa are so important to us. Because he says this, the Virgin Mary with her maternity conceals the paternity of the celestial Father. So if you put a point up above and you put the Father, okay, and then you point a point down, it's a triangle upside down, you put the Son, like an hourglass, and then you put on the other point the Holy Spirit. He says, under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Okay, the paternity of the Father reflects the paternity of Mary. So we can see on earth is the reflection of the paternity of the Father. Okay, so he says that. He says it encloses the power in order to fulfill her mission as mother of the eternal word and co-redemptrix of mankind. And then he says, my humanity. Then we draw that point down. My humanity, Jesus, Son of God. Okay. He says, for the mission of the Redeemer was to enclose the divinity of the word. So you have the Son of God is now the Son of the Mother of God. So the son of the father is now the son of the mother. Okay. So then here's the triangle. Okay. It comes. I ever draw a triangle like this. It's like an X. Okay. I would say an upside down triangle. So under the Father is the maternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. And now under the Holy Spirit. He says, well, he's still talking about himself. My humanity for the mission of the Redeemer, which was to enclose in the divinity of the Word without ever separating from the Father and from the Holy Spirit in order to manifest my celestial wisdom. This is what he breathes into Louisa, adding the bond of becoming inseparable from my mother and you, Louisa, for the mission of my divine will, as the Holy Spirit will display his love in you, Louisa, manifesting to you, Louisa, the Holy Spirit's secrets, the prodigies of my divine will, and the goods that they contain. So, okay, so you have the Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit. Now, under the Holy Spirit, you put dots down to Mary and dots down to Louisa. He says, you're the reflection of this. Okay, now listen to this. And in order to make happy those who will give themselves or those who will read, study, and put into practice to knowing how much good the Supreme Will contains, to love the Supreme Will, and to let the Supreme Will reign in their midst, offering their souls to let the Divine Will dwell within their hearts, that it may be able to form this divine life in them. So under the Father is Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa, and the soul's linked to Louisa. That's the Holy Spirit prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth, through us. That's what he's saying here. He says, under the Holy Spirit will display his love to you, Louisa, manifesting to you, Louisa, his secrets, the prodigies of my will, the goods it contains, in order to make happy those who will read the book of heaven. This is where, why the celestial wisdom of Jesus has been given to Louisa, though she could put it down on paper so the Holy Spirit can reveal himself, okay? Express himself, if you want to say. This is what Pope St. John Paul II said. He says, we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. That's this. He says, listen again. He says this. He says about his mother first. These three missions, first, the Virgin Mary and her maternity, which will conceal the paternity of the celestial Father and encloses his power in order to fulfill her mission of mother of the eternal word and working with Jesus, co-redemptrix of mankind. My holy humanity, he says, Jesus says, for the mission of Redeemer. So you have Our Lady, now you have Jesus, which was enclosed in the divinity of the Word without ever separating from the Father and the Holy Spirit. Why? In order to manifest my celestial wisdom. That's the book of heaven. That's what he spoke to Louisa. So you begin, when you read and reread this, if it's not clicking yet, don't worry about it. All of a sudden you'll go, oh, what God has planned, that one priest, he was 90, and he said very, very clearly, he says, do you know what? I go, what? He says, Jesus is the new Adam. Mary is the new, he's 90. He says, I've always been told that, but I never understood it. That's what's going to happen. As you read, study, as you put it into practice, it becomes alive. And you, Louisa, for the mission of my divine will, as the Holy Spirit will display his love in you, Louisa, manifesting to you, Louisa, the Holy Spirit's secrets. The angels don't even know about this. The saints don't know about it. See, what's coming? Remember Jesus said, when's Christ return? When he says that only the Father knows. He says, basically, it's when the Father has planned this. That's the time we're in right now. How do we know it's going to happen? Because he says, I've given you the book of heaven. So he says very clearly, and you, Louisa, for the mission, my divine will, the Holy Spirit will display his love in you, Louisa, manifesting to you, Louisa, his secrets, the prodigies of my divine will, the goods that the divine will contains, in order to make happy who? Those who will give themselves, those who will read, those who want this gift. Jesus says, the divine will is for everyone, but he says, in reality, it's for only those who want it. Hopefully that's us, that we make the divine will our everything. That's what Jesus says. I'm waiting for the souls who make the divine will their everything. And hopefully that's us. He says, in order to make happy those who will give themselves to knowing, learning, studying how much good the supreme will contains, to love it, and to let the divine will reign in their midst, offering their souls to let it dwell within their hearts. This is the martyrdom that we're going through. The martyrdom that we're going through is the martyrdom of martyrdoms, Jesus says. Not to give life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That has to become our life. And this is the greatest martyrdom to go through. Because the human will is so strong. That's all we know. What I want. I mean, when you look at a little child, a lot of the children go, gimme, 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 gimme. I want, I want, I want. And we have to die to that, to say to Jesus, what do you want? To say to the Lord, I'm here for you, Lord. What do you want me to do? How do you, and it's not just doing the will of God that the saints have taught, but now with Louisa, how do I live this abundant life? How do I begin to live this life? I love it. I read it. I study it. I want it, but my human will is so strong. I'm daily failing, daily. And when is it going to take place when you, Lord, reign, when you are king, when you are God, when you are Lord of my life in every thought, every word, every deed? And that's what God is waiting for. So all the goods, all the secrets, all the prodigies, all the celestial wisdom of Jesus is going to make us happy, who will give themselves to knowing, studying, putting into practice how much good this supreme will contains, to love the divine will and to let the divine will reign in their hearts, offering their souls. See, this isn't just let it be done as you say. It's Our Lady could do it because she was living in the divine will. Ours is continuous. Ours is daily. Ours is a daily surrender, a daily submission, a daily being docile to what God wants. And he has to hear it from us. He can't, you know, I've heard people, well, I've given my will to God. It's all set. Well, if you look at the six ways that Our Lady taught Louisa in the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, if you go over those first 6 days, there's a lot to be accomplished. It's to surrender every aspect of who you are, your intellect, memory, and will, surrendering everything, your thought, words, and deeds, everything. And it's not just one time, well, I made my consecration, it's done. No, that's the first step, the very, very first step. And then as you read, and this is the great thing, as you read every day, and if you're reading the Book of Heaven, again, nothing can compare to this. Nothing can compare to this. Jesus is speaking. Jesus is breathing on us. Jesus is teaching us. He's guiding us. He's leading us to begin to live this life that the saints were doing. They were doing the will of God. But now Jesus says, now I want you to live in the will of God. And that's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And it's not a virtue or two that the saints went through. Like St. Maximilian Kolbe, a great saint, wonderful saint, magnificent martyr. His whole life was surrendered to God. And God, through the Blessed Mother, gave him the crown of martyrdom and the crown of purity. That's a virtue or two. But the fullness of the life of Mary, the fullness of the life of Jesus, hasn't been given to the saints on earth. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to do this. So he says very clearly, he says, who offer their souls to let the divine will dwell in their hearts. It's what you love more than anything, that it may be able to form its divine life in them, in us, in the bond of inseparability will be added between you, Louisa, the mother, Mary, and the eternal word, Jesus. So here's the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Now, when you think of the Old Testament, the reflection of the Trinity on earth before was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, Jesus, the law, and the prophets. And then for the last 2,000 years, it's been Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, even venerable servant of God, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen wrote JMJ. Everything that he wrote was JMJ, and the saints would reflect that through Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the family of Nazareth. And we want to be like this family. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be like Mary. We want to be like Joseph, who was with Jesus and Mary. And now it's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Okay. And Jesus, Mary, and Louisa is the reflection of the Trinity on earth. That's what Jesus just says. And as you read, as you study this, you begin to understand this great gift that God has given to humanity is real. Who is Jesus? Who is the Blessed Mother? Who is Louisa? That's the mystery, finding out who Louisa is. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, it begins to be, you begin to become aware of little Louisa. Again, who is this Louisa? The more you read about Louisa, the more you listen to her sufferings, what Jesus offered her, the more you begin to understand, yes, she suffered more than any human next to the Blessed Mother. Mary suffered more than any human next to Jesus. When you realize that Jesus crucified Louisa every day, well, why would a God crucify a little one? Because when the Father sees a soul that loves Jesus and loves Mary, they offer that soul suffering. Now, all of us are suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. All of us are going through it. Most of us complain. Most of us are, you know, why me? There's one of my friends says that to me all the time. Why me? You know, I lost my keys. Why me? I got a flat tire. Why me? And it's like, it's God saying, I love you. I want you to go through. See, they volunteered to suffer. All three volunteered to suffer. And what Jesus shows us is when we get to heaven, when we see what suffering brings, it's redemptive. Right now, you know, well, we don't want anybody to suffer in the hospital. Let's over morphine them to death. Let's just make sure they die nicely. They don't have to suffer. We don't want them to suffer. Suffering is redemptive. It's not that we love suffering. It's we say to Jesus, you know, this is what Jesus taught the saints, and he teaches this more to Louisa than anybody else. When we see Christ crucified, we say, come down from the cross just for a minute. Let me take your place just for a minute. Jesus says that is true love. True love is to take the place of the one who is suffering. That's what Our Lady was at the foot of the cross. Jesus wanted his mother to see him die. He wanted Mary to see true love for humanity. And that's why when he was on the cross, he said to his mother, these are your children through John. You're the mother. And then he says to John, he says to us, here is your mother. Take care of her. And that's why Catholic families, we have beautiful shrines to Our Lady. It's that we don't worship Mary, but we love Mary as Jesus loved his mother. And this is what's so amazing that our God is asking us. So when we get to heaven, God's going to say, this is what suffering has done. And every one of us will say, I want to go back to earth. Let me suffer just for five more minutes. God will say at that point, I've given you the opportunity. And you said no. We have the opportunity now, and we have to begin to see from a divine perspective. Why did Jesus want to die on the cross? Why? He loved us. Why is he imprisoned in the tabernacle, waiting for people to come to visit him? Because he loves us. If we don't meditate on Christ crucified, if we don't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we don't know the love of God. We might think we do. But if we knew that, we would want to be with our Eucharistic Lord. We would want to be meditating on Christ crucified. So Jesus is showing us this. So then he says to Louisa, these three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa are distinct and inseparable. The first two, Jesus and Mary, have prepared the graces, the light, the work, and everything with unheard of pains. Here's the suffering again. What did Jesus and Mary go through? What did they go through? Unheard of pain. See, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a crucified God. We're going to see one who died for us. I mean, he is alive. He's not a dead crucified. He's a living crucified. And Jesus yesterday, today, and forever is always the same. It's the same thing with, he says about being in the Eucharist. Why is he a prisoner inside the Eucharist? He has left us. Yes. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. Yes. But he says, I still want to be with you. I wait for you because he consoles us. He knows what we're going through and he wants to console us for what we're going through. He knows how difficult it is. So here Jesus says, the first two, Jesus and Mary prepared the graces, all the lights, all the work, and everything with unheard of pains for the third mission of my divine will of that's given to Louisa. Everything's prepared, given to Louisa by Jesus and Mary in order to be all fused in it without leaving their office. So this third fiat of this manifestation of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary given to Louisa, it's ready now. They have the newborn. They have the firstborn in the divine will. They needed a human. Yes, the life of Jesus. Yes, the life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. How do we get this? Jesus says, I'm going to give you the newborn, firstborn of the divine will, a human from all humanity will be able to receive this link, this connection with Jesus and Mary. So when we go to Louisa, it's not for Louisa, it's to go to Jesus and Mary. She knows Jesus. Just read these 36 volumes. She knows Jesus in a way that the saints would want to have while they were living on earth. But they were not given this because it wasn't their mission to be the firstborn of the divine will. She's the greatest of all humanity. Jesus gave a hint of this when he said about John the Baptist, the greatest man born of woman is John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom, the littlest in the kingdom is Louisa Picaretta. And he says, is greater than he. Why? How can she be greater than John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the precursor of the second fiat. Louisa is the precursor of the third fiat. She lives in her nothingness. And when you read, you begin to see this Louisa. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she that? And what Jesus says, when the world begins to understand who Louisa is, when they see Louisa, the world is going to shake. Because then he says they will begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. You're going to see a human who basically has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is not, this is more than what God gave to Adam. It's everything that God gave to Adam, but more. It's the new Adam and the new Eve that Louisa possesses. So what God is doing is not just going to bring us back to where Adam was before the fall. Yes, but more than that, we're going to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, because Jesus, Louisa said, why did Adam fail? If he was given this gift, how did he fail? And Jesus basically said to Louisa, he failed because he didn't have me as the new Adam. He didn't have my mother as the new Eve. He says, if I give this gift back to Adam, he'll lose it again. If I did the same thing over again, he would lose it again. Even though he went through all that he went through. He says, but what I'm giving to you, Louisa, you won't be able to lose. Why? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So Jesus says, what he speaks, what he says has to be fulfilled. It has to be fulfilled. So when you're reading the book of heaven, he says, basically, don't get discouraged if you fail. You're going to fail. Don't get discouraged. He says, I want you to see how far you are from what I am going to bring you to. And he does this to help us. He says, I want to hear more of your desire for what I want. That this has to become part of what you want to live this true life of Jesus, the new Adam, to live this true life of Mary, the new Eve. That's what you hear when you listen to Louisa. When you listen to what she says, she teaches us how to respond to Jesus, how to respond to Mary. So here, he says this. He says, Jesus and Mary prepared the graces, the light, the works of, and everything with unheard of pains for the third mission of my divine will in order to be all fused. Now, this fusing is two pieces of metal that are welded together. When you weld, when you have a good weld, you don't break it there. It can't break. I mean, you can saw it, whatever. But when you weld something together, when you fuse something together, it's stronger. This is what's happening. He says, in order to be all fused in the divine will without leaving their office, so as to find rest. Now, what is rest? Rest is the seventh day. When you read in Genesis, the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day, all the way up, there's no morning or evening of the seventh day. It hasn't happened yet. The seventh day begins now. John Paul II says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Okay. The third millennium is the 7,000th year. And what's really fun, and it's fun to speculate, on the 7th month of the 7th day of the 7th year of the 7th millennium, God loves to have fun with numbers, that's when Pope Benedict gave the permission for the Latin Mass. You think about that. The seventh day of the seventh month of the seventh year of the seventh millennium. God's got plans. And, you know, nothing is going to get in the way. God is in charge. Nothing to be upset about, nothing to be worried about in any situation, because God wins. So this is what he says. He says, without leaving their office, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to find rest the seventh day, because my will alone is celestial rest. It is the seventh day. We've begun it. When you start reading, you're going to begin to understand there is nothing to worry about. Everything's completed. Everything is completed. And like Jesus says that to Louisa often, everything is done. Now it needs to be known. What does that mean? We have to know this. If you have the book of heaven, God has given you the book of heaven, and he's saying, do you want to know this? He says, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in my divine will. Now, when you think about it, that's what Jesus said to the Blessed Mother when Joseph and Mary found him in the temple. He says, did you not know I must be in my Father's house? It's not a wish. It's a certainty. It's completed. And that's what's happening now. This time of rest, this time of the new era has begun. And Jesus says, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in my divine will. And hopefully that's us. So he says, these two missions will be repeated because of their exuberance of grace, exuberance of light, exuberance of knowledge, and is so great that all human generations can be filled with Jesus and Mary. This is what's coming. Even more, they will not be able to contain all the good which they contain. No one will be able to possess the totality of Jesus and Mary. It'll be like the new life of Jesus and the new life of Mary, but the fullness of it, that's forever, forever and ever and ever. We're going to get more and more of this light, this love, this life of God. It'll never end. And that's what he's saying to us. I want you to enter into eternity now. That's why there's no worry. There's no fear. I don't care if everybody's panicking. It's why? Why are you panicking? The final devotion that Jesus gave to the world through Saint Faustina, through Pope Saint John Paul II, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus, I have Christian hope. I have certitude. I know everything's going to be fine. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my God. You're my all. And Mary is my mother. And there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be afraid of. So God is looking at us and he's saying, who do you trust? Do you trust in the world? Then you'll have to go the way of the world, Jesus says in scripture. Do you trust in him? Then eternity is yours. And so this is what Jesus is saying. He wants us to know this. That's why I lost my place. The exuberance of grace, of light, of knowledge is so great that all human generations can be filled with them. And even more, they will not be able to contain all the good which they contain. This is going to be overflowing. This is the rivers of the New Jerusalem. Everything is overflowing. It's what God has planned is paradise for humanity, is Eden for humanity. And that's why when you listen to the New Jerusalem about what scripture says about the New Jerusalem, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. That's what's coming. And that's why he says, you'll not be able to contain all the good which they contain. These two missions, Jesus and Mary, are symbolized by the sun, since in creating it, I, Jesus, filled it with so much light and heat that all human generations can enjoy it in superabundance. Nor did I, Jesus, take into account that since the beginning of creation, there was only Adam and Eve on earth. I, Jesus, could have placed in the sun enough light as to be sufficient for only the two of them, making them then grow in proportion to the growth of the human generations. No, I, Jesus, made the sun full of light, just as it is now and will be. That's the thing that gets me, you know. So, you know, you hear every now and then, oh, the sun isn't going to last. It's going to go dark in about, 6 billion years. It's going to go. I thought he said 6 million years, man. Oh, I'm so happy. He says very clearly, be peaceful. The sun is full of light, just as it is now and will be. God's going to take care of everything. If you're going to panic over 6 billion years from now, I mean, what are you not going to panic over? I have a friend of mine who says, what if, but what if, but what if? I'm going, I mean, during World War II, what if our parents, you know, died? What if, you know, the plane went down? What if, you know, it didn't happen. Why waste your time with what if? Get into reality, what is. And that's what's happening. There's no need to worry. There's no need at all. And Jesus says this very, very clearly. He wants us to be peaceful, full of peace, joy, full of joy and happy. That's heaven. So he says, for the decorum, the honor of our power. This is the supreme power of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Power, wisdom, and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our works are always made with fullness of all the good which they contain, nor are they subject to increase or decrease. So listen to what he's saying. For the decorum and honor of God, the power of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God. Okay, that has to settle in our heart as we read this, okay? Our works, God's works, are always made with fullness of all the goods which they contain, nor are they subject to increase or decrease. Do you see why when you read the book of heaven, you're filled with joy? It's a child in its parents' arms. There is nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be afraid of. The parent is going to take care of the child. The parent is going to feed the child. The parent is going to take care of the child. The child is comforted by the parents. Thunder and lightning outside might terrify a child, but when the parent says everything's okay, those words are Jesus and Mary speaking to us. It's nothing to worry about. And when we really begin to trust Jesus and Mary, when we really begin to see them as the new Adam and the new Eve, more than that, our the ones who love us the most, who went through the most suffering for us, we begin to trust them. And if we don't, like I said, if we don't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if we don't spend time meditating on Christ crucified, and again, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not to read a book. In front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's to fall in love with God. It's to fall in love with God. That's why he's there. I mean, how good would that be going to your best friend's house and saying, hello, sitting down on the couch and read. Well, I got to go. It was great being here. I mean, come on. We're spending time with the one who loves us the most. We're spending the time with the one who we should be listening to. See, God's voice is very silent. And what he asks, and you'll see this in the writings, he'll ask you to be as small as an atom, but at the same time to fill a church, to fill a basilica. It's to begin to understand God. We can participate in everything, but at the same time know that we're nothing. We're a speck in the universe, less than a speck. And what God is asking, he's asking, do you want to participate one with him? And when we say yes, he says, okay, listen to what I'm going to teach you. And that's what I find in the Book of Heaven. I find that as you read every day, God keeps on expanding your capacity to understand. You read it again and it's brand new. He's expanded our capacity to embrace this celestial wisdom that Jesus is revealing to us. And he needs us to understand that. So Jesus says this. He says, so I, Jesus, did with the Son. I, God, centralized in the Son all the light that was to serve up to the last man. Okay, so the light is going to disappear about 6 billion years from now. Remember, this is the fun part. We're going to enter into the new heavens and the new earth. We're going to enter the new Jerusalem, where a day will be like 1,000 years and 1,000 years will be like a day. So in God's time, he's been gone 2 days and he's coming back real. I mean, sooner than I don't think it's going to take another day. Let me just put it that way. He left, he comes back. He's going to, and this is what he wants. He says, I want you to begin to understand this love, this light, this life of God that I want to breathe in you. And so what is that life? Just to get us an understanding, a simple understanding, what was Adam's DNA like? If Adam could live, like remember God said to Adam, if you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will die that day. He died at 930 years old. What was his DNA like? Our DNA says, according to scripture, 70, 80 if you're strong. That's it. He died at 930 years old, 30 years old. He died the first day. A billion years is, I mean, if the one day is 1,000 years and we're to live 70 or 80 years, I'm terrible with math. It's got to be interesting to see what that's going to be like. Somebody figure it out. It's going to be good. But again, God has got plans for us, and it's not human. It's divine. The priest says that every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. That's what's coming. St. Peter says that in his epistle. We are created, we are born to be divinized. You know, and then it's great things are coming. So he says this. He says, but how much good does the sun not do to the earth? What glory does the sun not give to its creator with its mute light? And that's why when you're in the sun, praise God, love God, glorify God. You're beginning to learn how to do the rounds. When it's raining out, praise God, glorify God, love God. Humans are so miserable, so fickle, that when it's raining, oh, it's raining out. When it's snowing, oh, it's snowing out. When it's cold, it's cold out. When it's warm, it's too hot out. I mean, we're always going. We have to get to that point of rejoicing. If it's snowing out, praise God. If it's raining out, praise God. If it's hot, praise God. If it's cold, you know, it's to pray the prayers that Adam prayed before the fall. That's the rounds. And Jesus teaches Louisa from volume 16 to volume 36, pray the rounds, learn to pray the rounds. Mary says, I'm going to teach you new. She says, I will teach you a way of heaven, no longer a way of earth. Prayers that are so powerful. Jesus says the same thing to Louisa. Same thing to Louisa. Okay, so Jesus says this. How much glory does not the sun give to its creator with its mute light? I can say that for the immense good that the sun does to the earth with its mute language, the sun glorifies God, Jesus says, glorifies me, makes me known more than all the other things together. Because the sun is full in its light and stable in its course. Oh, but the sun is going to go out. It's like, you know, we've got to be real. I mean, look what he's saying. The sun is full in its light and stable in its course. And when I looked at the sun, Jesus says, which with so much light only Adam and Eve could enjoy, I, Jesus, also looked at all the living, all the human generations that were coming. And in seeing that light was to serve everyone, my paternal goodness exulted with joy, and I, Jesus, remained glorified in my works. What God has given to Adam, he's given to us. You know, the sad part about a lot of the teachings, it's to demean God. It's to say, God didn't do this. It's all by chance. No, this is well planned by God. The universe is well planned. Everything in the universe, everything under the microscope is well planned. And what God is going to do is show us how being who he is, our Almighty God, how that helps us become his divine masterpiece. He has everything planned. He says the only thing out of order is humanity. And he wants to bring humanity back to be what God has called it to be. Let's look at the DNA. Our DNA says get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. That's not part of God's plan. God's plan is to become his divine masterpiece. That's what he tells Louisa. What is God going to do? He's going to make a masterpiece for himself to enjoy, to love, to he says, what I'm going to do for each soul is so unique that each soul can love God like no other soul. What does that say? When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when you're praising God, loving God, glorifying God, nobody else can do that. They might be the same words, but with who you are, no one else can do that. And that uniqueness, we have different irises, different fingerprints, sizes, shapes, colors. It's because he loves our uniqueness. He has got great plans. And he says, that's the most fun. Every human being, even the person sitting next to you, is going to become a divine masterpiece. Perfect. That might sound strange for looking at the person next to you, but that's what God has planned. That's his goal. That's what he wanted from the beginning. He wanted to breathe into each one bringing about a divine masterpiece with each soul. And so the more that we were studying this, the more peace, joy, and happiness we have, because there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to complain about. There's nothing to be negative about. What God is doing, he's bringing about a new and divine way of holiness. This is heaven. It's really heaven. And he's asking us, are you ready? Are you ready to begin to live this? And that's what you find in the book of heaven. As you read, you say, yes, I want this. And then you say, Jesus, you have to show me how to live this. Teach me how to do this. God goes, good. Practice what I will teach you. Listen to what I say to Louisa and put it into practice. So he says this. Okay. So, listen to what Jesus is saying. He says, I looked at the sun with so much light only Adam and Eve could enjoy. I also looked at all the living, all the human generations. See, what's happening is the word I like in the Mass is regeneration. That's what God is doing. He's regenerating all the human generations. He says, in seeing that the light was to serve everyone, my paternal goodness, here's the Jesus in the litany to Jesus, it's Jesus, Father of the age to come. That's one of his titles. In my paternal goodness, exalted with joy, and I, Jesus, remain glorified in my works. And so I, Jesus, did with my dear mother, Mary. I, Jesus, filled the Blessed Mother with so much grace that Mary can give graces to all without ever exhausting even one of them. All grace comes from the Blessed Mother. Let's look at just the miraculous medal. The one hand is all the graces that people are receiving, asking for. And then there's the graces that nobody's taking. Take all those graces. Say to the Blessed Mother, I'll take all the graces that nobody wants. I'll take them all. You have to understand, she wants to answer all our prayers. Fill yourself up with all the graces. You know, what's really interesting, once you pray for grace, you have it immediately. You have it immediately. Say, for example, you're at the sink and you're washing dishes and you say, I can't do anymore. And you say, Our Lady, please give me the grace. It's there. Start washing the dishes. Say thank you. Start washing the dishes. The grace is there. But the immediate obedience is necessary. As soon as you pray for it, it's there. Use it. They say thank you and go. And you got to say it 10 more times. No, do it 150 more times. No, do it three. No, are they? It's when you pray for it, it's there. And then just get used to saying thank you and starting to do what you need to do. You'll be really astonished how quick this what happened. Jesus says this. He says, so I, Jesus, did with my holy humanity. There is no good which it does not possess. Everything is Jesus and Mary. And the very divinity to be able to give it to whoever wants it. Now, Jesus said, I said it before, but Jesus said, the divine will is for all of humanity. But then he says, but in reality, it's for only those who want it. Now, you've talked to people and you've said, here's the book of heaven. And they go, I got my saint. I don't need another saint. And you go, well, it's a little different than that. And they go, thank you, but no thank you. Sometimes it takes years and a lot of prayers to have somebody respond. And again, you just keep on praying. If your family, your friends, your neighbors, you pray for them. It's like a rain cloud over their head. And as soon as they say yes, all your prayers pour down upon them. And that's where great conversions can take place. Let's just look at St. Monica with Augustine. Don't go to Rome. Whatever you do, don't go to Rome. You'll die a pagan. I mean, she was very concerned and she prayed and prayed and prayed and all those prayers worked. prayers don't go to waste. Don't worry about that. Just pray. And thank God when you pray. You know, it says pray and then thank God. It's like the 54-day rosary novena. 27 days of asking, 27 days of thanking. You're always respect. When you ask, you always thank. Sometimes a lot of the saints have taught us that you thank God, you pray and thank God, and then you're sure it's going to happen. You don't have to see it. That's one of the things. You don't have to see it done, but it's going to work. Maybe it's after you die, but your prayers are powerful. A lot of us are where we are because of the prayers of our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. They prayed for their families. And a lot of that is responding now because the kingdom's coming. I'm telling you, hang on to your hat. This is going to be great, glorious. So he says, okay, listen to this. There is no good which it does not possess, even the very divinity, to be able to give it to him, whoever wants it. The priest says that every day at Holy Mass. Are those just words? Are you saying, yes, I want to share in your divinity? When the priest says, may we share the divinity of Christ, is there a yes in us, fiat in us? I mean, as we're praying, as we're listening, that should be part of what we want. He says, Jesus says, I, Jesus, enclosed in you, Louisa, its knowledges, its secrets, its light. I, Jesus, filled your soul up to the brim, so much so that what you write is nothing other than the outpouring of what you contain of my will. So again, when we're reading, okay, this is what Jesus is saying to us. When I see write, I hear read, okay? I filled your soul up to the brim, so much so that what you read is nothing other than the outpouring of what you contain of my divine will. So the more that we read, the more our God is filling us to the brim of overflowing. And he's saying, I've got everything. And he says, I want you, my children, to share in my divinity. I don't want you to have this after you die. He said that to Louisa about resurrection. He said, I rose from the dead so that humanity will rise from their misery now. He says, true resurrection isn't after you die. True resurrection is while you are alive. See, that's sharing in divinity. That's beginning to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Where do we find that? Go to Louisa. Who is Louisa? Find out when you get there. She is who? I look at her and I just go, I cannot believe what God says about her is so astonishing. How come I don't know more about her? I mean, why can't God really just reveal? And as a matter of fact, he says that to Louisa. He says, the world, he says, I'm going to reveal to the world who you are. And we haven't seen anything yet. That's what's coming is going to be great. Jesus is going to do it. And then Jesus said this, when they see what I have given to you, he says, the world will become Catholic. Because they'll ask Louisa, how do you live this life that of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary? And Louisa is going to say, you have to be baptized first. That's the first thing. You have to be baptized. Why baptism? You enter into God's image through the sacraments and the sacramentals, through the Holy Church, through the fullness of the church. Then he says, the next step is, okay, now that we're baptized, what do we do? Now enter into living in the divine will through the book of heaven. That's the thing that's going to be astonishing. When I was in the Vatican, when we were copying the writings of Louisa, when we met at that time, Cardinal Ratzinger, he was bubbling over. I mean, he looked at us and he said, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was just, He was so happy that we were copying the writings of Luisa, because he was the one that wrote the letter to the Archbishop in Mexico City saying all the writings of Luisa should be published. And every one of the theologians who's read the writings at the Vatican, you read what they say, how honored, how blessed we were that we could read these amazing writings of Luisa. This is the thing that is so astonishing, so astonishing. And as you read it, you concur with what they're saying. This is so, I love the writings of the saints, but they can't compare to what Jesus tells Luisa. The saints' lives are beautiful. They're extraordinary. But what Jesus tells Luisa are the words from the Son of God. Unbelievable. So he says this. He says, so I did with you, Luisa. I enclose in you, Luisa, my divine will. With it, the divine will, I enclose myself. Think about that. As you read the Book of Heaven, I enclose in you, Luisa, my divine will. And with the divine will, I enclose myself. He's always coming out from the interior of Luisa. Okay, why does he keep on saying that? Why? He wants us to understand this part. I enclose in you my divine will, and I enclose myself. God is there. See, Jesus teaches Luisa how to make your heart his throne, how to make your soul the throne for the Father. I mean, you're going to read things that will just astonish you. He says, so I enclose in you, the divine will's knowledges, the divine will's secrets, the divine will light. See, it's not of earth. It's of heaven. You can't find this on earth. That's why Jesus is speaking to Luisa. No saint could talk about this, about living in the divine will. He says, I, God, enclose in you. Now he's talking to us as well as to Luisa. It's knowledges, it's secrets, it's light. I, God, fill your soul up to the brim so much so that what you write, what you read, is nothing other than the outpouring of what you contain of my divine will. See, this happiness, this joy, this peace that you receive by reading is the knowledges, the secrets, the light. Jesus himself, Mary herself, it's this word of God speaking these words to us become alive in us. This is what God is doing. He says, so so what you read, what you write, Luisa, what we read is nothing other than the outpouring of what you contain of my divine will. And even though it now serves you alone, Luisa alone, and us alone, our family doesn't want it, our neighbors don't want it, our coworkers don't want it, our parishioners don't want this. He says, even though it now serves you alone, a few glimmers of light serve some others. I, Jesus, am content. I am content. He uses God's name. Because being light, listen to what he says about this Book of Heaven. It will make its way by itself more than a second sun. Those are the words of Padre Pio about Luisa. He said, Luisa is a second sun that will give light and life to everyone and everything. So when you think of the sun going down in the west, the new sun coming up in the east, no more darkness. That's what's coming to the church and to the world. This is a glorious time to be alive. Being light, it will make its way by itself more than a second sun. And he also said, Padre Pio also said that the world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta in the third millennium. This focus is like a telescope, a microscope, a binoculars. You're focused on something. Everything else is around you. But when you're focused, this is what God is going to bring us. He's going to show us who Luisa is, Who are you, Louisa? He says, more than a second son, in order to illuminate the human generations and to bring about the fulfillment of our works. Okay, listen to what he says. That our divine will be known, our divine will be loved, and our divine will reign as life within humanity. If this was the purpose of creation, what? The divine will be known, loved, and reign. This is the purpose of creation. This was the beginning. This will be its means, and this will be its end. It's everything that God wants for us. He says, I could give you nothing greater than this. Therefore, be attentive. Now, that be attentive to me means you got to read this. You got to study this. You got to put this into practice. It's not going to just, you don't read it once. I mean, you read it once. Somebody said that to me. I read all 36 volumes. Now, what do I do? Well, why don't you start over again? Read it a little slower. And it's not a novel. It's Jesus speaking to you. And as he speaks to you, he's bringing you alive. He's bringing you to become alive. Therefore, be attentive, read, study, put this into practice, because this is about rescuing that eternal divine will, which with so much love wants to dwell in humanity. That's what Adam had before the fall. That's what the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary possessed, that they want to give to humanity. But it wants to be known. It's not just, well, I have the book. I have a friend of mine. He was on fire with the divine will. And then he got into his business. And I called him and I said, well, what's going on with the divine will? He said, I got the book right on my desk, filled with dust. It's not helping anything. Jesus says, the divine will wants to be known. By whom? Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Nobody wants this. He gave it to you. He gave you the book of heaven. We have to know this. And it does not want to be like a stranger. Rather, it wants to give out its goods to become life of each human being, each soul who's reading. But it wants its rights whole. Adam was naked because he lost his royal clothing, his royal garments. And Jesus says, I want to clothe my children back in these royal garments. This is what he says. God wants its rights. God wants its place of honor. He wants us to be in his throne. He wants to have his throne in us, and he wants us on his throne. Read the book of Revelation. He who reigns. And this is what's coming. Its place of honor. It wants the human will to be banished. The human will is the only enemy for the divine will and the enemy for man. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us. You have to know what God is showing us is the misery of the human will. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. He says, this isn't how you're supposed to live. You can have a heart attack if you want. You can have a stroke if you want. You can have an ulcer if you want. Or you can be happy, peaceful, joyful. Oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand what you're going through. It's Jesus is offering this to us. And he's saying, I don't want you to be miserable anymore. That's what he says. It wants its rights. God wants to reign in us. It wants its place of honor, our heart, our mind, our soul. It wants the human will, the human misery to be banished. What is the human will? If you go to confession, you know your human will. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. And therefore, I'm going to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. Next week, bless me, Father. It's like, he wants the human. See, Jesus wants us to see how miserable the human will is. People have said that to me. They're praying the same prayers that they prayed for all their life in confession, the same sins. We haven't been broken of it yet. We haven't been freed of it yet. And Jesus says, I'm going to do that. I think he says that yesterday in yesterday's reading. I'm going to free you of it. I'm going to do this. God says, I'm going to do it. You're striving, he says, and you fail. Why? The human will is so strong. So he says, I'm going to show you how and why you're going to live in the divine will. That's why he says, the only enemy for the divine will, the only enemy for man is the human will. And so he says, I want this over. I want this done. The great thing is he wins. My mission, the mission of my divine will was the purpose of creation of man. The mission of my divine will was the purpose of creation of Adam. My divinity did not depart from heaven, from its throne. My will instead not only departed, but descended into all created things and formed its life in them. However, okay, so let's do this here. My mission of the divine will was the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation was God was going to reign in us, humanity. Humanity was going to reign in God. God came to earth, basically, to find a bride. He came to earth for a bride. And he said, this is my church. And he says, I will marry the church collectively. This is what he tells Louisa. But I'm going to marry each person individually as if they had their own personal God. Like I said before, who we are is like nobody else. How you pray, nobody else can pray like you. So God is going to teach you how to pray in the unique way that he has given to you. And this prayer that this Holy Spirit, the secrets, the treasures, he's going to show us how this uniqueness is important to him. Our God loves us so much that he says the purpose of creation of humanity, my divinity did not part from heaven, from its throne, my divine will instead not only departed, but descended into each created thing, each human, and formed its life in them. However, while all things recognize me and I, Jesus, dwell in them with divine majesty and divine decorum, man at this time alone drove me away. So Adam drove God away, naked, no longer dressed in royal clothing, kicked out of paradise. And God said, this was God's mercy. And you got to leave paradise because if you eat of the tree of life, you're going to live like this forever. Get him out. Save them. And that's why for four centuries, 4,000 years. For 4,000 years, they were waiting for the Messiah. That's why Jesus spent 40 days in the desert. Now Lent is coming up. Use these 40 days in a very powerful way. Reflect on how everybody was longing for the Messiah. And then during Holy Week, make Holy Week the greatest Holy Week ever. Spend time with our Lord, especially the Triduum. Spend time with our God. Give up something. Oh, I'll give up chocolate. So give up something, you know, something more than chocolate. What do you do with your time? If you click on the tube, get away from it. Get away from, just so that you know, God does not want us to watch TV. It's scriptural, you know. He said when he came down from Tabor, television to no one. So don't have anything to do with television. Our God loves us and the kingdom's coming. He wants us to get ready for this. Use these 40 days, you know, that are coming up. Use them powerfully. Use them one with God. If you can get your community, your prayer group to pray the 24 hours of the Passion, this would each hour change, you know, each day you change to another hour. That's something that's, Jesus said, the chastisements that's coming, those people that pray the hours of the Passion in those communities, the chastisement will have little or no effect. Oh, yeah, that was yesterday. Yesterday's reading And the 103 years ago, he said that the large majority of humanity is going to be gone. What we might be going through right now. But then he says in another part, my mother is marking all my children and no harm can come to them. Then he says, the children of the divine will who are marked by my mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect. Then finally, he says, the survivors of the great chastisement will be the little children of the holy divine will. Why? They're ready for the kingdom. They're ready. I want to be ready. So what has God done? He's given us the book of heaven. Everything is here. And he says very, very clearly, get ready. So he says, however, while all things recognize me, I dwell in them with divine majesty, divine decorum. Adam alone drove me away and all his children. Well, Adam was in charge of all of us. He was the father, the first father of mankind. So we all fell into that sin. That's why we get baptized, to be free. We're no longer we're ontologically changed. We're no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God. He says, but I want to conquer humanity, to win humanity. And this is why my mission is not finished. So I called you, Louisa. I entrust to you, Louisa, my own mission, that you, Louisa, and those linked to Louisa, may place the one who drove me away on the lap of my divine will, and everything may return back to me in my most holy divine will. That's where we are at this point. Therefore, do not be surprised at the great and marvelous things that I may tell you. And that's what happens when you read, you go, whoa, you are. He says, don't be surprised at the great and marvelous things I'm going to tell you for the sake of this mission. Jesus said to Louisa, there will be a time when all of a sudden the kingdom will be here and all of humanity will say, how did this happen? How did this happen? And Jesus said, it happened because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. He says, don't be surprised at the great and marvelous things that I may tell you for the sake of this mission, or the many graces that I, God, may give you, because this is not about becoming a saint. It's not about becoming a saint, but it's about saving the human generations, saving humanity. So when people say, when's Louisa going to become a saint? I say, I don't know. I doubt if she is going to become a saint, because it's not about becoming a saint. It's about saving the human generations. That's what's coming to humanity. All of humanity is going to be saved. Now think about it. Jesus says, where Adam was, he sinned, fell. Jesus and Mary come. They're back on track. At Jesus and Mary leave. Then Louisa shows up. These voids, these empty spots are going to be filled, Jesus says, by us repairing and redoing. That's the job of each one of us in the divine will, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Jesus says, to make it look like Adam never sinned. A straight line. Everything's going to be repaired. That's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. What's coming? We haven't seen anything yet. See, when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one who has been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. What does that mean? What does that mean? Heaven is going to be on earth. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. Do you see what God's getting us ready for? That's why everything has happening now. God is saying, I gotta give everybody what they want. You want hell like the devil? It's yours. God says, I don't want you to go there. But if that's what you want, I have to give it to you. I gave it to him because that's what he wanted, and his angels, fallen angels. You want heaven? I'll show you the way and the how it's going to happen. You want the kingdom? I'm going to show you the way and the how if you want. That's what he's doing. He's getting us everything ready. Everything's getting ready. So he says, it's not about saving generations. This is about rescuing a divine will for which everything must return to the beginning, to our origin. Oh, it says right there. To the origin from which everything came. We're going back to the womb of the Father. This is so that the purpose of my divine will may have its complete fulfillment. That's what's coming. And who's he asked to be alive at this time? He's asked us to be alive. He's predestined us to be given the book of heaven. I can't get over that. I really can't get over that. I mentioned before, we used to have sheets of paper of the book. We never had any books. And now all the books are here. That means we have a duty and a responsibility. God has planned for us to have this. And he's waiting for us to say yes. He's waiting for us to say fiat. So the more that we say fiat, the more we do this, the happier we're going to be, the happier God is going to be. Because, I mean, listen to what he just read this over again. He says, Louisa, the most essential part you forgot to put in. She was so humble, it went right over her head. I mean, when Jesus says there is one person who's going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, this is the one who's doing the will of God, living in the will of God. And she said, who is this person so I can thank them? And Jesus says, Louisa, it's you. And she says to Jesus, you're joking with me. You're just fooling me. You're playing games with me. Because Louisa says, I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. See, it's Jesus says, you were nothing but a blade of grass, Louisa. But you are the one that's going to bring the kingdom of God. You have been chosen. Your mission is to gather your children together to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of the Our Father. The completion of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. How glorious this is. How amazing this is. And God has asked us to be alive at this time. Again, we got to thank him for this book of heaven. Treat this book of heaven with real love. And as you enter into this, he's going to keep on expanding your capacity to embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. So I end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children of the holy divine will to be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.